It may be having problems getting built and perfected, but the Littoral Combat Ship is going to be an important part of the Navy's fleet. And since that fleet is about half the size it was during the Cold War, each ship needs to have solid punching power. That's according to retired Navy Commander Jim Feldkamp, now an adjunct professor at George Mason University. He joins me now. Mr. Feldkamp, great to have you on.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
You're arguing, in fact, you have a couple of published pieces on this, that there is off-the-shelf technology that has that punching power that could easily be put on top of these forthcoming ships. I guess there's a couple of them already in the fleet.
Right. There's the LCS, Littoral Combat Ship, is going through its trials right now. Two different companies are competing, I guess, to get the contract from the U.S. government. But one of the opportunities about the LCS is the modular design. And with that, you can be able to bolt on different suites to change the mission of the ship. And one of those things is what they call off-the-shelf technology is the naval strike missile, which is a Norwegian naval strike missile, actually. And it's a fifth-generation missile, and it's already gone through, and the Norwegians and the Polish use it in their Navy. And it's a sea-skimming missile, fifth generation, can fly around land masses and everything and strike your opponents at different aspects, different ways. And so it's a very good opportunity to buy tried-and-true weapon systems, very inexpensive in relation to the other stuff that we tend to put on, and you know we're always enamored with the technology of the day. But I think it's a very good opportunity to develop these LCSs to make modular designs to be able to have a lower procurement cost and develop have more ships in the commons, I guess is the best way to put it.
I guess I'm surprised that maybe other people are that Norway, first of all, has a navy with that kind of capability of striking beyond the horizon, and that they've got an industry that can build this type of weapon.
Yeah. Well, wonders never cease. But I guess that's, if you just go out there and you look, because, you know, with 70 nations right now have over 75,000 anti-ship missiles, we got to start looking at a different way to project our power. And one of those things, like I said, is the LCS. And the more opportunities you have to create open architecture to be able to put different suites or modules on these ships to change their mission, their tactics, from sea service or surface warfare to minesweeping or anti-submarine warfare, the opportunities are increased. And so with this, you know, a tried-and-true weapon system that we can put on an American ship will just enhance the strike capability of this ship.
Now, in the American arsenal that exists now and with the current typical supplier base, there's nothing like this particular missile?
No, nothing like it. I mean, the Harpoon is a good missile, but this is a generation beyond that. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I should say, is that, we'll take anything we can, but what we want to do is we want to have the biggest punch we possibly can. We want to shoot, fight above our weight. And with this missile, the opportunity is there that we can bolt that on a relatively inexpensive price and then, expand our capabilities, especially around the littoral waters that in the South China Sea. Because right now what we have is we have China just becoming more and more belligerent. And in the South China Sea, we have, $5 trillion worth of commerce coming through every year. And China's just now ignored what the Hague has mentioned, or the Hague came down on the competition, the mineral rights between Philippines and China. And so China's becoming very, very belligerent. And what we need to do is we need to, have more of a presence out there. And we this LCS is a great opportunity because of the low draft. You can get through those shallow waters like the Spratly Islands and all those places, and just increase our ability to project power.
Now, the littoral combat ship is littoral, which means it's close to the shore in the way it operates.
Mm-hmm.
The South China Sea is enormous, and parts of it are deep. Do you see this as something that could be on a ship when it's close to the shore and fire either inland or over water to something else?
Oh, absolutely. Like I mentioned, it's, fifth generation, so it can be a sea skimmer, it can fly around land masses. And what we're looking at is, in the Spratly Islands, those archipelagos and all those places where the shallow draft, the water is pretty shallow, relatively speaking, so our capital ships can't get in there, but the LCS could, armed with this new missile, be able to work through those islands and add a lot more capabilities and provide more distributed lethality, so to speak, against our enemies. And so if we got in a shooting match or anything like that, the opportunity for us to attack from different angles would be increased.
We're speaking with Jim Feldkamp, retired Navy commander and former FBI special agent. He's now an adjunct professor at George Mason University. And getting to the procurement aspects of this, how used to this type of purchasing do you think the Navy really is to buy something off the shelf from another country to put on a strategic location like the top of a ship?
Well, I think it's a change of mindset, actually. I mean, we've had sequestration in the last several years, so this has really hampered our ability to modify our fleet. And so this was just an opportunity in which we can have a tried-and-true weapon system we can put on the LCS. Now, the LCS, like I said, look at it as like an F-150 truck, right? I mean, it's going to be a modular design, so you can design it for different missions that you want. And just by having this tried-and-true weapon system available, let's put it on. That's just a different philosophy. Instead of building everything from the ground up, let's start shopping around for the best price possible, because what we want to do is we want to increase our presence throughout the globe to ensure our adversaries don't take us as a sign of weakness, leading from behind, as it were, so we're always out there projecting power.
And what about the supply reliability in the case of buying it from a country like Norway? Seems to be a pretty stable nation.
Yeah, I would think it would be... Well, once again, I think the advantages outweigh the disadvantages, just for the fact that Norway is a stable nation. Norway has created this and has got a good procurement chain. I think it's going to be a great opportunity.
And what about China and Russia? Do they have access to the same technology or something from a competitor?
Well, that's a good question. I am sure ONI would know better than I, but... with Russia and China, they have been increasing their militaries and their navies. As a matter of fact, what is it that Russia is now building 8 new nuclear-powered missile cruisers? So they're seeing an advantage, or they're taking advantage of our sequestration and our reduction in our fleet to project their power. And so all of a sudden, we do see the rise of China, and we do see the rise of Russia, and we should be aware of that. And like I mentioned, the South China Sea, China is building up these islands out of whole cloth, and they're trying to make the South China Sea into their internal lake. Well, $5 trillion of the world economy going through that commons. We have to ensure freedom of navigation and freedom of the seas. And so all these things, combined, where we got to realize that our procurement has got to change. We got to start building these littoral combat ships just as a presence, because of their, shallow draft, high maneuverability, and the ability to change their mission.
And what about the integration of a foreign-made weapon system with the systems and the buses and the electronics already on board a U.S. ship?
Well, I think that's where they're testing it right now. They're out there testing the USS Freedom is out there working on that right now, the testing. And the first couple of tests, I think, have gone through pretty good. Like I said, it's one of those change in philosophies, change in attitudes, change in mentality that we got to start looking outside the box in order to increase the opportunities for us to project power.
Jim Feldkamp is retired Navy commander and former FBI special agent, now an adjunct professor at George Mason University. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.